you see my screen? Yes, okay. So this is in your packet. This is the new member orientation plan, and it was determined that the easiest format for new board members would be to do a series of 30-minute orientation sessions, and to have them on an individual basis, because board members aren't coming on en masse, so people are joining one at a time, and it would also give them adequate time for questions. So this is following the format that we've been doing for the budget training sessions, which seems to work well. People feel comfortable asking questions on kind of a one-on-one basis. So post-appointment, board members will receive the following sessions. It's 4 hours of total training time. The first section outlines trainings to be completed within 30 days. So that would be a welcome meeting with the chairperson, an initial discussion to foster a mutual understanding of the person's background and their connection to the work of the Mental Health Board. The chairperson can provide an overview of the history of the Mental Health Board and the reason for its establishment, kind of giving that historical piece. And also in this meeting would be an overview of the big picture of the Mental Health Board functions, activities, and priorities. And then the next session would be, and I have this listed as 60 minutes, just in reflecting back when I first met with Administrator Lappin, it was a two-hour meeting, and he pretty much just gave me a whole lot of information in that session, so I made this a 60-minute session. But an overview of BHS services, the different service lines, the corresponding organizational structure, and then kind of the history, and this is what, you know, he does so fluidly, you know, talking back over the history of Milwaukee County's provision of services over, you know, these many, many decades. And then talking about the Milwaukee County commitment to racial equity and the No Wrong Door. So these are pieces that could be done by Administrator Lappin or perhaps Director LeGrant McLean. And so those are really big foundational pieces for new board members. And then the third piece that would be within 30 days would be Mental Health Board responsibilities and liabilities. And so that was referenced earlier. For board members to have a working knowledge of the different layers of government, the function of the Mental Health Board, and then the responsibilities which are mandated by state statutes. And this is something that I highlight for each new board member when I meet with them, because really those state statutes do explicitly articulate the function of the board. It's pretty lengthy. And then for board members to have a familiarity with how public meetings work, issues pertaining to quorum, responsibility, you know, in terms of, you know, if you're going to have an informal quorum or if you're attending another meeting, you know, how to act as a public official. And then a process for request for legal opinions, what is that procedure? And then also including a session or, you know, some time on a basic understanding of legal and ethical considerations pertaining to civil commitments. And so this will be provided by the Office of Corporation Counsel. And then again, the person would have opportunity to ask questions during that session. And then the fourth piece within the first 30 days is to have a session with the Ethics Board Executive Director. He's offered to be an excellent resource to this board, so reviewing the ethics code, having a familiarity with the ethics code, and then also for board members to have an understanding of how to report fraud, waste, and abuse, to understand where board members can go when they have questions. This is just really kind of also that relationship building piece between the ethics board and mental health board members. And then also along with that are the harassment awareness and racial and health equity training modules, which we talked about the last time. And then trainings to be completed within 60 days. The financial oversight piece, again, we've been doing budget trainings, which have been all of the people who've participated said have been a great opportunity to connect with the DHHS fiscal administrator and hear more about the budget process. And so understanding how that works, and then also the quarterly fiscal reporting procedure, the history of and the functions of reserve accounts and fund transfers, and then types of contracts, since that's such a big part of board members' role is approving contracts. And then next on the list, we have board officers and committees. And so this is an opportunity for the vice chairperson, and then I can assist as needed, to talk with the new board member about board officers, what the role the officers play, the annual elections process for the mental health board, and, you know, for people to have a stronger understanding going into that meeting, which takes place typically in February every year, rather than, you know, having to learn on the fly, understanding that procedure in advance, and then to have a working knowledge of the committees and opportunities for service. And then we have board member expectations. And so this could be the governance chairperson, and again, I can assist as needed, but we had talked about this last time as an overview of member expectations. And so that was something that was recently approved by the full board, and that's quite a lengthy document, but understanding each of the features of that new member expectations policy. And then meeting procedures. So this would be the board liaison reviewing Robert's rules for meetings, understanding voting procedures, quorum requirements, how to request an agenda item, what meeting minutes look like, and so kind of those procedural pieces. And then that's it. So does anyone have any questions or comments?
There are tests afterwards.
Hey, Katie, you and I have been going back and forth a little bit about board member expectations, right? And, you know, do you, I don't even know how to ask this, but do you walk away with a sense that they understand the importance of coming to every meeting, you know, and not only that, but, you know, the expectation that they are to participate in a committee?
I mean, that's definitely something that I highlight when I meet with a new board member, and I know that has been a big thing that you have talked about as chair of the board. I think that, and to the point about having a quiz, you know, I mean, that could be something we could try to look at, annual training. I mean, there's a lot that individuals are committing to with this board service, so you know, trying to have these pieces in place to make it easy for people, at the same time recognizing it's a volunteer board, so you all have significant responsibilities outside of this board, obviously. So, yeah, it's kind of, I've seen this a lot in boards, that it's just necessary to have ongoing education pieces in place. And I know in the past, the governance committee had talked about embedding board education within the mental health board meetings themselves, so that mental health board responsibilities and liabilities session that the Office of Corporation Counsel did, that was a session within the mental health board meeting, if you recall that. So there could be things that just are multiple touch points that people are hearing the same message over and over again, whether it's, you know, through this 30-minute session, through a document, discussion at a full board meeting, et cetera, et cetera.
I just feel like our agendas are already packed, and to put that in there, just, you know, I know at the inception of the board that was maybe a little different, but, you know, to your point, it's a voluntary board, but, you know, it's what you sign on for, you know.
I think we also talked about, like, refresher trainings, and though even though you do the 30-day, the onboarding training and the budget training, like, making that, having an opportunity for a board member to redo the training or going through the training again, or maybe after every year or so, you know, you make sure that you attend one training and just putting some stipulations to keep it fresh on everyone's mind. And things do change as we go along. So
I think something else that I'd like to add about the accountability piece is that this governance committee or the full board could ask for a review of which board members have completed their training sessions. So, you know, not everyone is always available. So if they know then that it's going to be reviewed by a committee, or that the governance chair or the chair of the mental health board will be notified that they didn't complete their ethics training, for example, or they didn't complete, you know, whatever piece, then that could be an accountability piece also.
So it looks very thorough. Is this training available online in a YouTube kind of environment for folks to take at their leisure when they have time in their schedule?
Some of the pieces are, like the ethics training modules are all available. The way that this had been structured was with a presenter for each item, and to do it online, to do it as a Teams meeting. But I mean, we could look at the slide decks or something that I've sent out to people, like with the budget training, so we could look at like what the putting together the resources that are corresponding to these sessions.
Yeah. And where I'm going with this, there is a company out there, and one of the name of it that I know, there's several, but the one that I know is called Relias, and they can private label some of their standard trainings so that it looks very much like Milwaukee County Mental Health Board. The DISHA is on there. You can also upload into Bias your own slide deck with your own voiceover, and it'll be presented in the same standard format. At the end of those training sessions is a test, and so you have documentation that somebody actually completed the training, actually completed the test, and typically, you have to score an 80 to pass, 80%. And if you don't, you have to take it over again and keep taking it over until you get to 80. But it's a structured way of building on your comment that, yeah, everybody has a job outside of this job, and everybody's pressed for time, and the agendas are already packed. And so is this something that I can do in the evening over a glass of wine and some cheese and still accomplish my obligations.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be something you want to look at. I don't think it's too expensive.
Yeah, I definitely look into that. With the ethics training, I had looked into whether those ethics modules, whether there is a test or whether there is a, you know, mark of completion, and there is not through the ethics board. So, you know, this could be a place where perhaps the mental health board's innovating within county government in terms of the training pieces. And I know that mental health board members are not a part of Dayforce, which is the county, and I researched that, whether mental health board members could receive trainings through Dayforce. And so that's something that I was told no is not a possibility, but that might be where they have the you've completed these trainings tracking. So I can research that further.
Yeah, and we can meet later on and see what the pricing looked like, and if that's something that we can move forward with. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And just another question, as far as like when we onboarding new members to the board, and you know, we saying, hey, you know, we need you to meet these requirements, or here's the expectations for the board member or the new board member. We have something in place if they're not meeting the expectations.
I think that's what Chairman Perez, what you were getting at. So
I couldn't find my microphone. I'm sorry. That's That's right. We've been talking about this a little bit back and forth because, and it has occurred in the past where, you know, we're concerned, we worry when a board member isn't attending with regularity, right? So, you know, it begs the question of, you know, what to do, and it might put, you know, the board in that position, that very complicated position of confronting it and perhaps making a decision to have that board member step down. Because I look at those board member expectations and, you know, and I know people's lives are complicated. You try to be understanding, but this is a board, and our viability relies on attendance and participation, right? So we just kind of have to, I really believe we need to be more stringent, in my opinion, for what it's worth, because these are tough times, especially now, and I think we need now more than ever people to really attend, and if maybe it's not a good time for some people if they're not attending regularly, and that's okay. We just need to call it out and move on.
Absolutely, and we can look, I can look through, I'm not all the way familiar with all the bylaws, or is there something in there in the writing to say, you know, what do we do to move forward if someone is not meeting the expectations? But that's something that the governance committee can look at, a procedure to say, you know, do we just call the executive board meeting, or have the chairperson throw it back on you, chairwoman, Chris, say you reach out and ask
I have to say, I mean, it maybe has happened once in my tenure, and I know, Tom, maybe you could attest to that. If it happened once, maybe twice in the past that it's happened, but I can't recall. It happens so infrequently that I can't quite remember how, you know, what processes went on to make that, you know, make that decision and execute it, right? Because it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, When I first joined the board, there was, in the first set of bylaws, there were actually rules that if you missed two consecutive meetings without an excuse, you were automatically off the board, and that's no longer in the current language, is my understanding. The issue here, too, is typically the people that don't attend are community leaders that you don't want leaving the board, but they can't afford to spend time on the board, and so it becomes very delicate. And I think, you know, going through a process of discovery, if somebody, a high-profile board member, a community leader, is not attending, to go through a process of discovery, the message will be clear to that person, and they will self-select off, typically. And so, you know, this isn't heavy enforcement. This is gentle enforcement that usually works, because they can read the signs. As soon as you go into discovery, why are you missing meetings? There's an obligation here. Would leaving be a better option for you, and we can find a replacement, so on. That's the conversation. It's not disciplinary. It's something else. It's a nudge.
Committee member Lutzow is exactly right. It has happened twice in the board's tenure, and the process was exactly that. A gentle nudge conversation was had. Again, the board members themselves can read the writing on the wall. They know that they have not been able to participate for whatever reason, and then they choose to resign. They submit their resignation letters. So that's how it has occurred in the past.
Yep, and it can, thank you, Geraldine, for that clarification. And it continued to, I mean, I think that still may be the best way to do it. I just wanted to bring it up because I didn't know if a process, I'm fairly new. And so I just didn't know if it was a process in place. I like the gentle nudge, and I think people do take heave and say, yeah, maybe I should just go ahead and step down now since everyone is asking questions or inquiring.
I'd also like to add to that the county executive or the nominating authority can remove board members for cause. So it's not up to the mental health board itself to remove members. The body that or office that appoints the members can remove the member.
And so, just for clarification purposes, we may inquire, give a gentle nudge, but the individual stays on the board, right, and say, well, no, I'm gonna be a placeholder here, then the county exec will have the authority to say, no, we're going to actually leave the board. Is that just for clarification?
Typically we want folks that leave the board under these circumstances to remain friends of the board. That's the art that, you know, is that, yeah.
The bylaws are attached. Individuals can review the bylaws. If you have any questions, please reach out. We went over the training. And Darion, do you want to go to the next agenda item?